As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Great guest today. You know, the show is never the same. I always try to keep things unpredictable. Some days we have no guests. Some days we have lots of guests. Some days it's a lot of me talking. Some days it's not. So it just kind of depends on the day. And, you know, I think it keeps it interesting that way. But we had some great guests today. And who knows? Maybe tomorrow we'll have no guests. I don't know. It just depends on the day. Depends on the day. We always try to go with it in that sense. But I will tell you this. This idea that the Democrats are going to rally around this guy who was deported, this MS-13 guy, it's just dumb politics for them. It just shows you the Democrats are still stuck in the past where they thought rallying around this was a good idea. But here's what we know. The judge has dismissed the Justice Department criminal case on the alleged gang leader. We know that the government then is going to appeal this case. And so that's going to happen. This is all kind of breaking right now. And we know that Count Grantangelo Spartacus Booker and the Tears of Rage Band wants to bring Democrats to go see him in El Salvador. That's where everything stands at the moment in time as we are beginning our fourth and final hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHG. And I just keep thinking to myself, you know, at some point, the Supreme Court is going to get involved here, and they're going to have to make some rulings. They can't keep kicking it down to the lower courts and expecting this is all going to work out. They just can't. I mean, they can't. On the trade issue with China, let me give you what the president said on that today. The president of the United States speaking from the White House, or maybe it was yesterday, I'm sure. No, it was Caroline Leavitt, excuse me, the White House press secretary, talking at the White House press briefing. The ball is in China's court. She got handed a note by the president during her press briefing today. And we're going to talk more about some of the impacts of the tariffs on small businesses and local businesses this hour. But this is what she said regarding that cut 21.
Look, the president has made his position on China quite clear, although I do have an additional statement that he just shared with me in the Oval Office. The ball is in China's court. China needs to make a deal with us. We don't have to make a deal with them. There's no difference between China and any other country, except they are much larger. And China wants what we have, what every country wants, what we have, the American consumer. Or to put it another way, they need our money. So the president, again, has made it quite clear that he's open to a deal with China, but China needs to make a deal with the United States of America.
China's got to make a deal. That's what China has to do. They got to make a deal. So let's talk about this Maryland man and what the courts just ruled a short time ago. This is all kind of breaking news on the show. And this happens a lot. And we keep hearing constitutional crisis, Kilmar, Abrego, Garcia. The judge today said there was no evidence the Trump administration has tried to secure the return of this man. And as such now, the judge went on to say she would not hold the government in contempt of court for now. At a hearing to consider her next steps and what she called the Trump administration's failure to update her on efforts to return Kilmer Abrego Garcia, U.S. District Judge Paula Zinnes said the administration had not given her any information of value about what it had done. There will be no tolerance for gamesmanship or grandstanding. To date, what the record shows is that nothing has been done. Nothing. She is now requiring the Trump administration to produce documents and have officials sit for depositions by April 23rd. To explain the steps they have taken to secure Abrego Garcia's return. The case is one of several that have sparked concerns among Democrats and some legal analysts that President Trump is disregarding the judiciary. The Trump administration, though, is saying, of course, the judiciary is overstepping and interfering with the executive branch's ability to conduct foreign policy. Like I said, at some point, this is going to have to go to the United States Supreme Court. They're going to come out and they're going to have to make a determination on this point. It's just that if they compel the administration to bring this man back to the United States of America, I don't know how you're going to facilitate that. I don't know how you do that, considering the fact that you're getting into a situation where you're trying to have the president engage in foreign policy. And you can't order the president to engage in foreign policy. So I don't know how this could, but even if they bring this guy back, there's still a deportation order on him, and then they're going to just wind up deporting him again. So, you know, I mean, all of this is just silly political theater that seems to be what's happening right now. Silly political theater. And what and Tom Holman came out and said, and you'll hear him on Jimmy Fallon's show tonight, he said, you know, the illegal immigrants do not have a right to stay or be returned to this country if they're found guilty of breaking the law. No illegal immigrant has a right to be in this country. So the idea that the United States would have to go pick up an illegal immigrant and bring him back to the United States when that man is a citizen of another country and not the United States of America is just insane. It's crazy. But according to Axios and the story that came out, Cory Booker, Count Grantstangelis, Spartacus Booker, the Tears of Rage band, they're sending a delegation to El Salvador to go there. Dozens of House Democrats, and this is the big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria for 10 years in a row, 10 consecutive years, recognized as a top dentist in New Jersey among his peers. Make your appointment today by going to veneriadental.com. Members of the House Democratic leadership sending an official congressional delegation to the El Salvadorian prison where the Trump administration is sending deportees. And Cory Booker and Representatives Robert Garcia of California, Maxwell Frost of Florida, asked House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer in a letter first obtained by Axios to authorize a CODEL to El Salvador. This is a congressional delegation, an official congressional delegation, which would provide the members with crucial oversight powers and security resources. A congressional delegation would allow committee members to conduct a welfare check on Mr. Abrego Garcia. He's not a citizen of the United States of America. This is very important to understand because they keep saying a Maryland man, a Maryland man, a Maryland man. He's not a U.S. citizen. So, I mean, are they going to go conduct welfare checks on other people in other countries around the country? What about all the other people who have been deported? Are they going to do welfare checks on them, too, or just this one guy? He's captured the attention of the media because his wife's pregnant and he has kids. But that doesn't change the fact that he's not a U.S. citizen. It doesn't change the fact that he had a deportation order. So now they want to have this oversight committee, and they are inviting Republicans to go. This is after Senator Van Hollen comes out and says that he's going to also travel to El Salvador as well. So now the judge has said till the 23rd, the administration has to submit more documents to her. And then ultimately, the administration is going to turn back and say this is out of its hands. There's nothing it can do. And so then the judge is going to probably, I would imagine, hold the administration in contempt. And then I imagine the administration is going to turn around and appeal to the Supreme Court. And then I imagine at that point, the Supreme Court's going to make a determination. I just don't know how you can compel the president of the United States to engage in foreign policy here to make an effort to bring this guy back. I don't know how you do it. So we'll see. I mean, this is what Democrats are doing. They are trying to get a standoff here with the president. That's what they're trying to do. And they think this is their winning moment by just having Trump stall in court. Now, as far as taxes and the budget go and everything like this, look, we gotta get taxes down and we have to be able to do something for our small businesses. There are a lot of small businesses that are hurting right now because of the tariffs, and we'll talk more about that as the show goes on. But I'm just it is crucial that they deal with the tax situation. They have to make the Trump tax cuts permanent. Today's tax day. It's April 15th. We're all dealing with this. If they do not make these taxes permanent, I'm telling you what's going to happen. What's going to happen is we're going to get the largest tax increase in American history if they don't do this. That's what's going to happen. Oh, and Joe Biden's coming out tonight. Joe Biden is coming out. He's been in hiding. He's going to come out and speak tonight on Social Security. I don't know what he's going to say. But Democrats wish he'd go away. They wish that Joe Biden would just disappear and not come out and just hide. That's what they're wishing. But tomorrow will certainly be a lot of fun in discussing all of what Joe Biden's saying. Another person who wants to run for president in 2028 is Gretchen Whitmer. So Gretchen Whitmer was at the White House and she covered her face so that nobody could see that she was in the White House. And it was on Meet the Press. They said that this is going to be her Michael Dukakis moment. Jonathan Martin from The New York Times said this idea of her being in the Oval Office with the president, with Donald Trump, standing there in the Oval Office, she's done. Politically speaking, Gretchen Whitmer's done. This is cut number 15.
Jonathan, there was this extraordinary, speaking of the Democrats, moment.
Yes.
When Governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan came to Washington, delivered a speech about tariffs, said she wished there could be a more careful approach, then went to the White House to meet with President Trump. Her team says she was surprised when she was kind of ushered into the Oval Office while he was signing EOs. And this happened. She literally, for a moment, covered her face. It's an extraordinary, striking moment that speaks to how complicated it is for Democrats right now to figure out. They want to energize their base, but also reach out to independents, particularly those who are potentially eyeing a run in 2028.
And in her case, trying to run a state for two more years that voted for Trump. But look, that picture's instantly iconic. This is Dukakis in the tank for the 21st century. The difference being Dukakis could blame his staff. She has nobody to blame but herself. And I think it was maladroit on two levels. First of all, the macro politics of it. Her assumption to give the speech she gave talking about working with Trump and then to go to the White House. Her party right now views Trump as akin to Erdogan or Orban, foreign autocrats. You don't cut deals with somebody who's trying to consolidate power and erode American institutions. That, number one, is her, I thought, faulty assumption. Then there's the micro. Why on earth is she in the White House at all and let herself be brought into the Oval Office? That's not her staff.
Let's stop it right there. That's okay. Stop. Why did she let herself go near the president of the United States? I mean, think about it right now. That's the reaction, right? Why did she let herself be around the president of the United States of America? So that you see the strategy the Democrats are employing for 2028. The strategy is we want to be as anti-Trump as possible. The problem for them, though, is that he's very popular. His policies are very popular. And people view him as fighting for America. Now, obviously, that can all change. Democrats are betting that on all that changes. But if the media's reaction to Gretchen Whitmer, a governor of a state that is the leading automobile state in the country, Michigan, Detroit, talking to the president about tariffs, if they lament that and talk about what political suicide that is, what does that say about the state of our politics in this country? Think about that for a moment. You have the governor of a state meeting with the president of the United States to discuss an issue that is vital to her state, which is tariffs that affect American auto workers. But it's so toxic for a Democrat to be near this man. Even if it's in the best interest of Michigan, which it clearly is, even if it's in the best interest of her constituents, which it clearly is, still toxic. Think about that. They're not sitting there and Meet the Press going, Gretchen Whitmer, great job. You're extending an olive branch, doing what's best for the people, putting your own political career in the rear seat. You are doing what has to be for the people of Michigan and this crucial industry that you represent in your state, the automobile. No. They're lamenting that the fact that she was caught in the Oval Office with the president of the United States discussing tariffs as the end of her political career, equating it to Michael Dukakis putting on a helmet and being in a tank, which was the end of his political career. This is how insane the media is. This is how insane the left is right now, where they say you can't even be in the room with the guy. Even if you're a governor, even if you got to discuss vital, crucial thing. I mean, Bill Maher's getting killed for having dinner with Trump. Getting killed. The left is canceling. There are people on the left right now canceling their HBO subscriptions. Canceling their HBO subscriptions because how dare Bill Maher meet with the president of the United States of America? I kid you not. Canceling their subscriptions. So look, I'm no fan of Gretchen Whitmer, and it makes me happy if her political career is over. I think she was a tyrant during COVID, but that's the level of insanity. There was a time, if there was a Democrat in the White House and a Republican governor would go meet him or say Chris Christie on the beach during Sandy, he would get praised for that, for reaching across the aisle to do what's best for his state. I mean, just contrast that for a moment. Christie's problem the time that Barack Obama came in after Superstorm Sandy and the quote-unquote hug, whether or not there was a hug or not, was that it was right by the election, and he helped Obama look sympathetic right before a general election. And he said he didn't care, and, you know, that was that. But it haunted him, politically speaking, among conservatives it haunted him. But the press loved it. The press loved it. They said, here he is putting New Jersey first, putting New Jersey over politics. This is a model for what America needs, this kind of bipartisanship. And they're mocking Gretchen Whitmer for meeting with the president to talk about tariffs. Crucial to Michigan, crucial to the automobiles and the auto workers in her state that deal with this crucial conversation. Because for a lot of these automakers, they've got to deal with the parts that come from other countries that they need for their cars and rare earth minerals and magnets, et cetera, et cetera. They also have to deal with the impact of countries imposing tariffs on American automobile workers in retaliation. Crucial stuff. But she doesn't turn around and get lauded for this. Not at all. No. She gets crucified for this. How dare you? And the media on Meet the Press sit there and say her political career is over for being in the Oval Office with the president. When Chris Christie was on the beach with Barack Obama, they said a star is born, reaching across the aisle to do what's best for his state. That's how crazy our politics have become. That's how sick in the tank the media is against Donald Trump. And that's why Democrats can't go near him. But when they do, because they need to, they're going to get murdered by the corporate legacy media. The president spoke with Rachel Campos Duffy, talking about this Maryland man that they keep talking about, who's not a Maryland man. He's an El Salvadorian man who happened to be illegally in Maryland with a deportation order to be removed from the country. He just shouldn't have been sent to El Salvador, but he should have been sent somewhere, and he will be sent somewhere if he's ordered to return to the U.S., then he's going to be deported again. This is what he said regarding this a few moments ago. Take a listen.
As you know, the Supreme Court, after we get out all of the fake news from CNN and all these other people, we won that case 9-0. Mm-hmm. And basically, that's really a decision that will be made by the government of El Salvador, because that's where, I assume that's the one you're talking
yes.
about.
He's from El Salvador.
Staying there, and he's from El Salvador. So that's a decision up to El Salvador. But it's interesting because we won that decision 9-0 in the Supreme Court. And if you listen to the news, you wouldn't know that.
Right.
You really have no
Fair
idea.
Fair enough.
So it's up to El Salvador.
Okay.
Well, it's not over yet. And there's the problem is that there are some things the Supreme Court did say he would have to facilitate the return. However, that's if he were to be returned, and then they remanded it down to the lower court. So this is why now the lower court judge is now giving the administration until April 23rd to produce documents showing the attempts that they're making to bring him home. At that point, there's going to be no attempts because they're going to turn around and say, we can't bring him home. He's in El Salvador. They don't want to release him. And then the judge is going to wind up probably doing something, and then it's going to go back to the Supreme Court. So that's where that stands. But hey, if the Democrats want to go down there, if they want to make this their hill to die on, this guy, then all right. I think it's bad politics for them. You want to send down some religious group or something like that to go down there and try to advocate for this guy, but the Democrats doing it to advocate for a guy who is an illegal immigrant? I don't know if that's going to play well. So Whitmer responded to Foldergate after she was caught hiding from the White House camera. She put a folder in front of her face to not be photographed. And again, I mean, look, she was there advocating for her state and the state's biggest industry, which is the automobile industry. But this is what she said regarding that situation. And this shows you just how insane the times we live are and how the Trump derangement syndrome is everywhere now. And any Democrat who wants to have a future has to just try to avoid Trump at all costs. No bipartisan cooperation, no working with the guy, nothing. Cut 16.
Yeah, how was Washington? Did you... I had watched your speech that morning, and I thought it was great. I thought you had touched upon really the high points of what's important, and the ships, chips, and cars.
Yep.
And then about 90 minutes later or so, there was a change in the direction of
the news coverage.
News coverage.
Yeah.
And the next morning I woke up and there you are in the paper. Beautiful picture of you.
Someone asked me what was going through your mind at that moment, and it was, I don't want my picture taken. That's all it was. I kind of wish I hadn't put my folder up in front of my face, but whatever. You know, I was there. I mean, I just wrote a book about learning to laugh at yourself, so I'm pretty good at it. And we all make, you know, we all have our moments, but I guess...
I've heard about putting a bag on your head, but I've never heard about putting a folder up so you can't be caught being photographed. You didn't want anyone to know you were there. Yeah, but how many auto workers in your state of Michigan voted for Donald Trump? I mean, he won your state. So how many people in your state would be happy with you as governor going there to meet him? But that's the disconnect. The people in Michigan are happy that she's there because she's advocating for Michigan and trying to get a good deal worked out for the auto industry. But the Democrats are so freaking insane, she's got to cover her face so that they don't see her in the Oval Office or near the president of the United States of America. That's how insane they are. Craziness. Craziness. Christie was a hero in 2012 for being on the beach with Barack Obama. Gretchen Whitmer has ruined her political career by being in the Oval Office with Donald Trump. This is how the media treats a Republican president, particularly Trump, versus a Democrat president. If you're a brave Republican and you reach across the aisle to a Democrat president, you'll be lauded. You'll be a hero. You will have a parade in your honor. But if you do that as a Democrat to a Republican president, particularly if it's Donald Trump, oh, they will roast you. They will kill you. They will destroy you. As you see here. Coming up, the impact of tariffs on small businesses and what one local company in Lancaster County is doing about it. You're going to want to hear all that as we continue our fourth and final hour. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Amish are not going to be afraid. The Amish are not going to back down. They're going to start making stoves. That's right. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Before we turn it over to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, this story caught my eye and I wanted to bring it with you. So Solo Stove, a very popular backyard fire pit. You know, some people build fire pits on their own. We did this in our old house. We went to, one of the stores and got a bunch of stones, and I actually built it. It was pretty impressive. Then somebody gave us a Solo Stove as a housewarming present at our new place. So that's what we use. It's great. I enjoy it very. It's very nice. I never realized it was made in China. Again, it's a gift. It wasn't like I was going to reject it. How many people really get a gift and go, oh, I'm sorry, this is made in China, I'm giving it back to you? They sell for about $250, according to the Wall Street Journal, and they're mostly made in China. But the Amish in Pennsylvania, the Amish, who were key to Trump's victory, by the way, they make one. It costs about $500. And it just got a big leg up from President Trump because the tariffs are going to drive up costs for the maker of Solo Stove and could push the already struggling market leader into bankruptcy. Now, I certainly do not want bankruptcy for anybody because there's the New York Post today has a whole big thing about all these small businesses who are getting really hurt by the tariffs because they make their products in China. And it's just not easy to just, flip a switch and start manufacturing in the United States of America. like this one guy, this little Tykes guy, who said, I voted for Trump, but I'm getting angry here because we were going to expand our company, and now we're laying off workers, and he's getting very frustrated by that. But like anything else in life, there's opportunities, and the Amish are stepping up to that. Brie O, a small manufacturer in Pennsylvania's Lancaster County, has seized the opening. In recent weeks, the company has run a national television commercial touting its tariff-proof fire pits. The ad shows a welder in a Stars and Stripes helmet working to an electric guitar soundtrack, built to last, made in America, the ad says. Brio's factory is a two-story stucco building the size of two basketball courts, surrounded largely by farmland. Inside, the space is packed with welding and metal shaping machinery. Most of its workers come from the local Amish community. Amos Stoltzfus, the company's co-founder and chief executive officer, previously worked nearby in his father's business, which manufactures stoves and custom metal goods. The executives say the company in 2014 was the first to the U.S. market with a smokeless fire pit in the shape of a double-walled steel cylinder. But Solo Stove burned past Brio with a version that was lighter, cheaper, and made in China. When Trump announced new tariffs last week on goods from nearly every corner of the planet, Stoltzfus called David Ellis, his vice president of operations, to discuss contingency plans. Don't worry, this is an opportunity, he told his boss. Our competitors are completely dependent on offshore products. We are not. Solo Stove was founded in 2011 by brothers Spencer and Jeff Jan. Their first product was a small portable backpacking stove that used sticks and leaves as fuel and could boil water in under 10 minutes. Spencer lived in Shanghai, where he found a manufacturer for the stove, and Jeff lived in Dallas, where he worked out of his garage. Like many other startup brands, the brothers used digital advertising to build buzz for their invention and sold the camping stove on Amazon. This other company, the Amish Company, or Amish Country Company, I should say, Brio, was formed in 2014. They introduced a freestanding steel fire pit, but had more success selling metal ring-shaped inserts that made stone fire pits smokeless. Looking for a reliable U.S. manufacturer, the co-founder, Jonathan Miller, turned to Stoltzfus. In 2016, Solo Stove launched a Kickstarter campaign for its first backyard-sized smokeless fire pit. Within 6 weeks, Brio rushed out a competitor product, a smaller smokeless fire pit intended for casual backyard use. They said they were drawn to the idea of American-made products for different reasons. For this guy, Stoltzfus in Lancaster County, he's 42 years old, he's a father of five. He said it was in part because of his Amish heritage's emphasis on self-sufficiency. The other guy, his business partner, grew up in Canada and isn't Amish. It was because domestic manufacturing gives the company more autonomy to control cost and design and production speed. From that point forward, Solo Stove and Brio emerge as the two brands to compare. Solo Stove outran its rival, helped by a flood of marketing and lower prices. We were able to carve out the niche, as the somewhat more expensive, somewhat heavier duty American-made version. Sales at both companies boomed early in the pandemic when shoppers spent big on backyard upgrades. That's when I built my own fire pit in the backyard, was during COVID. And then I got one of those metal ones at a local hardware store because I like to support small businesses. Neither of these two brands. This is in our old house anyway. Had that back there. Then as we were moving, I realized it was a giant hole in the bottom of it. I mean, we used it so much. I'm guessing that thing was probably made in China, too, because it burned a hole right through the middle of it. Look, I'm of the mindset that if you can buy an American-made, American-built product, that's great. You should. I do. I try to do that myself. Like, you ever see those mats that they sell on the ones that are custom fit to fit in your car, the laser guided mats and everything? Like, I got to be careful about brand names that are not sponsors. I get in trouble, but you know what I'm talking about. They're laser cut, laser designed mats, and they're made in the USA. I've bought those before. They're good. I try to whatever I can. Whenever I can, I try to buy American. But a lot of times you just don't know. Many times you just don't know. And if you, like, they sell Solo Stove at Costco, for example. A lot of the stuff at Costco is made in China. But I think a lot of people, if they could if they thought about it, they would buy an American product, even if it meant spending a little bit more, if they could. The problem, though, is that it's not as easy to just quickly convert to American manufacturing for a lot of the different things that are built, which is hence why there's a carve out now for tech. And a lot of these manufacturers of toys, people that have toy shops and companies that sell toys, are asking for an exception as well, because most of the toys that are sold in America are made in China. We have to be careful, because obviously with midterms coming, what you don't want to have happen is you don't want prices on all these goods to spike around Christmas time, where the toy that you were going to give your kid is now, or the toy that Santa was going to give the kid, I should say, is now twice the price. You got to be very careful about that, obviously. Solo Brands went public in 2021, shortly after acquiring men's apparel brand Chubbies. And they also a kayak paddleboard. The company's total annual sales peaked in 2022 at $518 million, with the bulk of the sales coming from its imported fire pits. Then the pandemic demand dried up. Then most of their stoves are sold at Walmart and Target. They remain the top seller of smokeless fire pits, but cheaper copycat products have eroded its market share. Well, the problem is the cheaper copycat products are also made in China. And this is what gets back to the conversation we've been having about the intellectual property theft. And I've said this to you before, which is that if you go on a site like Amazon or even Walmart, in many cases, others, you'll find a knockoff. It looks exactly the same. It probably is the same. It's probably they're taking the exact same design plans from whoever's having the product built and then just building it and slapping their name on it and then selling it for a cheaper price. And then it's hurting the American companies because they're building this crap in China. And then at the same time, they're undermining themselves. You see, the Amish company doesn't have to worry about that. If another American company comes along and builds a competitive product, well, that's a healthy competition. Even if they do one that's similar, it's not the same as if in China it's a literal knockoff and they just take the name Solo Stove off and they put on whatever stove they put on. And what do you do about that? That's the problem. What do you do about it? Right now, nothing's happening. Which is why the president is putting tariffs on China to try to get them to come to the table and make a deal so this intellectual property theft, among other things, can stop here. But there's an irony to this. Is when you're producing products in China, and then there's tariffs on China, and then these companies that are hurting because they're so reliant on China, but at the same time, China's also ripping these companies off because it's taking the plans to build their stuff, and it's just reproducing that. I was looking through the New York Post story about this, and these companies that are talking about all the products that they make and sell, and these are American companies, and they sell these things in the United States, and we don't want them to go out of business, and we don't want them to lay off people, but their stuff's made in China. There is a competitive product that is also listed on Amazon.com. That is clearly a Chinese knockoff. And I would imagine that when they make deals with these factories to produce their products, I would assume there's some sort of an agreement like, hey, we're not going to just steal your intellectual property, but they do it anyway. And so now you've got this Solo Stove company right now. They've had three CEOs in the past 18 months. The stock now hovers around 15 cents a share. In a regulatory filing in March, the heavily indebted company said it might need to file for bankruptcy protection. Solo Brands is reducing its marketing spending, its largest expense, as well as reworking pricing and product selection, according to the company's interim CEO, John Larson. The executive didn't take question from analysts. On the same call, finance chief Laura Coffey said the company expects the impact of tariffs to be significant through our operations. At Brio, the boom wasn't as big nor the bust. The company has been profitable since it launched its first product. Their sales last year came in at around $40 million, slightly down from the pandemic peaks. In 2020, 2021, it felt like, let's go. We're going to be a billion-dollar company. That wasn't reality. We had a right size, and we did that quickly. But about 10% of their revenue comes from products made in China. The rest are made in the Pennsylvania factory right here in our backyard. In recent years, they considered moving production outside the U.S. for some of its new and existing products. And the company decided, excuse me, that a new wood-burning grill would be best produced in South China, as would accessories such as a spark screen that would become price prohibitive if it invested in new machinery to produce them in Pennsylvania. So they do still get a lot of their products, not a lot, I mean 10% of their products from China. And they felt the impact of offshoring more than two decades ago, they said, according to the Wall Street Journal article. While working in his family's metal fabrication business, it made displays for companies that sold their goods at Home Depot and other big box stores. One day, my dad gets a call from the guys we were working for, and they said, hey, China is now offering a 30% discount. The family's business pivoted away from its display making business and now primarily makes coal and wood burning stoves. May see an opportunity in the sweeping tariffs aimed at bringing manufacturing back to the U.S. They can manage tariff-related cost increases without having to raise prices this year. Like many manufacturers, they're negotiating with offshore suppliers to share a burden of tariffs and re-engineer some products to offset costs. Executives also started to discuss whether they should produce some of these items in the U.S. instead. And they're fielding calls from more retailers who want its products, in part because its pricing is more likely to stay steady. I think you're going to see the price gap close between American-made products and imported products. It's definitely going to open up some doors for market share. Now, that would be great. And you know, the other thing about this, too, as you think about it, if companies start producing in the United States of America, there's going to be a level of patriotism here. I saw another car company today announce that they're going to open a plant in the United States of America. And this is what they, this is what my friend sent me about this, because this stuff's always coming out. What is it? WeatherTech. Yeah, no, thank you. I know WeatherTech. I can say it. WeatherTech. They do the laser line floor mats and trunk mats and everything like that. See, I need this stuff because my kids, they spill stuff all the time, and it's terrible. It really is. It's terrible stuff. But no, but they, there was another car company that announced they're opening up a big plant in the United States of America. I'm just trying to find it here today. See if I can find it. So much stuff that's sent over to me during the show today, which is great. I love that. It's very, very good. But let's see. After receiving nearly $500,000 in donations, that's not it. That's not it. Hang on. Honda considers increasing U.S. production to meet 90% of local sales. Honda to boost U.S. manufacturing, shift production from Canada and Mexico in response to Trump tariffs. Honda is preparing to significantly expand U.S. manufacturing because of the tariffs. The Japanese automaker is considering shifting production of several key models from Mexico and Canada to the U.S. with the goal of ensuring that 90% of the cars it sells in the States are built domestically, according to a report in the Nikkei newspaper. Honda plans to boost its production in the U.S. by up to 30% over the next 2 to 3 years. It's a big deal. The move would be a direct response to President Donald Trump's recently imposed 25% tariff on imported vehicles and auto parts, a policy that has upended production plans across the auto industry. Honda rival Nissan will cut Japanese production of its top-selling U.S. model, the Rogue SUV, over the next few months. The third largest Japanese automaker said in a statement it was reviewing its production and supply chain operations to identify optimal solutions for efficiency and sustainability. It said it was committed to adapting to market changes while prioritizing workforce and production capabilities. Our approach should be thoughtful and deliberate as we navigate both immediate and long-term effects. The announcement came a day after Trump said he was considering modifying the auto levy because automakers need a little bit of time. Honda, the second largest Japanese automaker by sales, has long depended on the U.S. as its most important market. Last year, it sold approximately 1.4 million vehicles in the U.S., nearly 40% of its global total, with about two-fifths of those cars imported from Canada and Mexico. To mitigate tariff costs and maintain pricing competitiveness, Honda now plans to move production of its popular CRV SUV from Canada to the U.S. and shift assembly of its HRV SUV from Mexico to American plants. It also reportedly decided to manufacture the next generation Civic Hybrid in Indiana rather than in Mexico. And the report adds that Honda may hire more American workers to support these changes and could expand production operations to include a three-shift schedule with weekend work. This is just one of several recent moves by major manufacturers seeking to shield themselves from the fallout of the Trump administration's trade policy. The Post says General Motors and Nissan said last week they would be ramping up production at their U.S. facilities. GM said it would be adjusting its production approach by moving more assembly of its in-demand light-duty trucks to its plant in Fort Wayne, Indiana. At present, GM manufactures its Chevy Silverado and GMC Sierra pickups at plants in the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. In a similar move, Nissan announced it will continue operating two shifts at its plant in Tennessee, Smyrna, Tennessee, walking back an earlier plan to reduce it to a single shift. Company pointed to the necessity of strengthening domestic manufacturing in the face of new tariffs affecting vehicles shipped from Japan and Mexico. Hyundai last month opened a new manufacturing facility in Ellabelle, Georgia, where it plans to produce 500,000 electric vehicles annually, up from an initial 300,000. Hyundai said it will spend $21 billion across its U.S. operations by 2028, with $6 billion earmarked for localizing parts, enhancing logistics, and investing in domestic steel production. Samsung Electronics and LG Electronics are also reportedly weighing production shifts. A South Korean newspaper reports that Samsung is considering moving dryer manufacturing from Mexico to its plant in South Carolina, while LG is evaluating a similar move for refrigerator production to its Tennessee facility. Generac Power Systems, which offshored to China in 2001, has reversed course by repatriating production of a key component to its Wisconsin plant, creating about 80 jobs. This reflects a broader reshoring trend that has taken hold across the U.S. manufacturing landscape, which analysts attribute to rising labor and transport costs in China, growing concerns about quality control, and supply chain disruptions. Other companies following the reshoring trend include General Electric, Caterpillar, Toyota, Siemens, and Baltimore-based ZenTech Manufacturing, all of which have recently expanded or launched new domestic operations, particularly in the Southeast, where labor costs remain comparatively low. So there you go. So obviously, with all of this, as you can imagine, the idea of people moving their production to the United States makes a lot of sense. And then I also think that you have to realize now, you also have to understand there's a certain amount of pride that comes with that. Like, driving an American-made car that's built in America. And if it's a foreign label, it's built in America. You know, I think there is something to that. I really do. I really do. I'm a realist. I understand that for a lot of companies, this is going to be a very difficult for them. And a lot of small businesses are not going to be able to weather the storm and are going to need help And they're really hoping that this will end very, very quickly, because that's what needs to happen. No doubt about that. All right. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla is up next. Take a listen to that. And we're back with you tomorrow for a full show. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Instagram Zeoli Show. You can see my latest Cooking with Reagan videos. Hard to believe she's turned 5 tomorrow. Can you believe it? I can't believe it. Have a great night. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.